Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. And as usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. Come and say what needs to be said. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in momentarily. Okay, the title of today's show is Losing Trust in Healthcare. And I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody, but I think maybe we need to discuss it a little bit. And you'll find out why once we get into that topic. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Yes, I say it every week. But please stop and think about it. Because it's a, I don't know. It's a hell of a concept. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie. Annie is a friend of mine and a dear friend, and I really do like Shake and Wake Radio. And the show also airs on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. And these are all great platforms. And yes, here Roger goes again. Okay. I tell you they're great platforms, and most of you would agree or you wouldn't be here listening. So, of the most of you who are here listening, I would say most of you at some point or another do voluntarily give a donation to one of these platforms that you're listening to. And that's great. And you hear me talk about this every week, but let's go over it one more time. Well, I wouldn't say one more time, but let's go over it again this week. And that is, if you really want to help them, but your budget says you really can't afford to give more than the 20 you're giving here, the 40 you're giving there, the 30 you're giving here, I'm not asking you to give them more, although if you can, please do. They are worth it. What I am asking you to do is to make this a monthly reoccurring donation. And how do you do that? You estimate an average over the course of a year, how much you donate, you divide it by 12. If it's $120, you divide it by 12, that's $10 a month. The next time you go in to make one of your generous donations, just make it that $10. But click the box that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation. And what you have just done is you have given these people, you have given them the ability to build a budget, because it's not, I may get 20 from Joe, whatever, this month. I may get, 30 from him next month. I may, but you're never really sure. This way, you give them the ability to build a budget with reoccurring income. That allows these stations to give you bigger, better, faster. Stephen, have I got this wrong?
You ask me that every week, Roger.
And I'm going to continue to. Simply because you're at the point right now where you chuckle at it. So
that's right.
We're good. Yeah. But it is the truth. I mean, that is the most effective way. And again, it's not a matter of actually giving any more than you usually do. It's a matter of giving it in a process that allows the most effective use of it. Okay. So, as far as donations go, this is something, again, that each and every one of you have to make a decision on. This is just a better, a more efficient way of using the same amount of funds. Okay, a link to any references used for this show presentation will be included in tomorrow's article, which is published on the Liberty Beacon by noon central every Thursday, including active links or other pertinent data points and articles. I will always state that the message I bring you today is not entertainment, nor is it baseless guesses or remote possibilities. Most of what I deliver is in-your-face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability depending on our course of action. And believe it or not, I got another pushback on that. My first question to this guy was, Rick, can I ask you, what are our plans? And after about, 5 minutes of hemming and hawing and trying to say something but not actually saying anything, he came to the realization that we really don't have one. Now I asked him, can you tell me what the global elite's plans are? He didn't shut up for 20 minutes. Are you convinced, people? This is a fact. Most of what I deliver is in-your-face reality, recorded facts, or an inevitability depending on our course of action. We talk about theirs every week. There are great radio shows on this channel and other channels in alternative media every single week. We talk about their course of action. Again, I am telling you, not too far into this year, I will put together a roundhouse, and we, the Liberty Beacon Project, will invite other, I would have to say, leaders, other publishers of good information in to have a discussion about our course of action, what it needs to be, what it should be, and what it is right now. You're looking at a deep state that is taking massive steps into our lives, into our freedoms, into our liberties, with very little pushback. Why? Because of the COVID lies that have been dumped on us for years. You put the two together, and what you end up with is not only a government you can't trust, but a healthcare system you can't trust. And that's what we're going to jump into today. Steve, I know that you have been associated with some sort of a medical something or another most of your life, whether it was by participation or by research. What do you think of the title of the show, and is it appropriate?
Yeah, they normally are appropriate. I haven't seen you make a show title that hasn't been.
Now, my point, or what I would like you to answer to, is do you see misdiagnosis and those type of things in what you go through?
Or
is it that it's so well defined with you that...
Well, no, I've been told by some alternative people, especially a couple of chiropractors, they said that I may have been misdiagnosed. And I've been to someone for testing that, not a doctor, not even a nurse, but she does some sort of testing with a computer algorithm. And she said I was probably diagnosed. I have more than likely parasites in my stomach lining and in my intestines. It's what's causing most of everything.
Oh, God. All right. So, again, the point. Thank you for your input, Steve. And let's roll into this, because as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the biggest issues any country or society can suffer. If you do not trust the healthcare, stop and think about that, people. The two things you never expected to lose faith in is your chosen religion and your provided healthcare. Yet today, if you are not beaten down by the first, you can't help but see the disaster healthcare that is being stuffed in your face today. There's no way around it. There isn't. And we constantly tell people that healthcare today is politicized, that healthcare today is monetized, that healthcare today, and most people who grew up like I did, where the doctor was the idol, where the doctor was the next thing below Jesus Christ in the Trinity, where the doctor was, the doctor was so special because why? He could save your life. He could bring your brother or your sister into the world. He could replace your mother's heart so that she lives another 20 years. He could. Or she could. And this is the way I grew up. But I'm a baby boomer. I'll be 70 years old in August. So I am somebody who grew up believing that the difference between a doctor and some holy figure was somebody forgot to draw that little hoop over his head. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a few facts. Roger jumps in here with a bold statement that we're losing trust in our healthcare. That if you lose trust in your healthcare, it's one of the two biggest things you never thought you'd lose trust in, but you are. Okay? So why am I saying that? You know darn right well, and Steve just backed up the fact that the title isn't overdone. So that must mean I'm going to put some stuff in your face that's going to make you go, what? And that's exactly what's about to happen. Did you know that the U.S., okay, in the U.S., an estimated 800,000 people become permanently disabled or die every year due to misdiagnosis. People, I didn't say 5 people. I didn't say 10 people. I didn't say 100, 1,000, 10,000, or 100,000. The number that in my research I found says 795,000 people. I rounded it off to 800,000. If you're going to start out by saying, and you're the U.S. government, an estimated 595,000, why the hell didn't you just go to 800,000 instead of estimating 795,000? But anyway, this is the way our government does things. But we're talking just shy of 800,000 permanently disabled or deaths due to misdiagnosis in America today. How many of you know, listening to this show, that America has the most chronically ill society on the planet? How many of you know, listening to this show today, we have the highest level of autism in our children on the planet? Would you like me to go on? You're looking at a nation that outspends everybody on this planet by 2 to 3 times at a minimum on healthcare. We have a massive healthcare budget that puts everybody else on the planet to shame. But yet, we are the most chronically ill with the highest levels of autism on the planet. How the hell does that make sense to any of you listening to this? Any of you? You're telling me that a country that spends 1/10 as much as we do and has a better healthcare system for their populace, and we shouldn't take notice of that? Let me state my first point again. In the U.S., an estimated 795,000 people, I say 800,000, became permanently disabled or die in a year due to misdiagnosis in the United States. So let's go to our second point, okay? Overall medical conditions are misdiagnosed about 11% of the time, but the likelihood of misdiagnosis varies widely depending on the type of medical problem and the symptoms it presents. Okay, which does make sense. But we're talking about a misdiagnosis of 11%. Among strokes or stroke victims, a leading cause of disability in the U.S., misdiagnosis occurs more than 17.5% of the time. In other words, you've got 100 people standing there who just had a stroke, and you're going to tell 17 and a half of them that they don't know what they're talking about. It's not a stroke. Are you listening? How about among patients transferred to a hospital ICU or who died in the hospital? A missed or delayed diagnosis took place in 23% of those cases. And 17% of the time, the errors caused temporary or permanent harm or death. Let me go over this point again. Among patients transferred to a hospital ICU or who died in the hospital, a missed or delayed diagnosis took place 23% of the time. In other words, I didn't have time to go in. I'm the doctor. I didn't have time to go in and diagnose that patient, which meant that that patient died because I didn't have time to go in and do a diagnosis and start a treatment. We're talking 23% or almost 1 out of 4. Are you listening to me? And then I don't like to say this, but it is a fact, so I will say it. Compared to Caucasian men, ethnic minorities are 30% more likely to be misdiagnosed, while women are at a 20% increased risk of misdiagnosis. Now, for any of you scratching your head saying why, It's not as tough as it seems, okay? I don't like to discuss this because I don't like people taking it personally or thinking that I'm saying something against their ethnicity. I'm not. But we all know that we have basically our own language. It doesn't matter what your race is, whether you're Puerto Rican, whether you're Mexican, whether you're, it doesn't matter. Asiatic, we all basically have the way we talk. We all do, all right? So if we're looking at ethnic minorities and saying that 30% of the time they can be misdiagnosed, why? And that's really not a tough answer. One of the biggest mechanisms to a good diagnosis is a discussion with the family and a discussion with the individual. And the more you can get from both the family and the individual, believe it or not, the more accurate your diagnosis can be. But if you have that, I don't know, that division due to language, or that division due to societal norms, or that division due to, and I'm not telling you these are huge bad things, there's nothing bad about them at all. But again, if that doctor is having trouble understanding what you are saying, that is detrimental to his diagnosis. That's not a joke. That's not a guess. Anybody who wants to can go Google, okay, diagnosis and see exactly what goes into it. All right. And I am telling you again, ethnicity does play into it. The best thing you can do if you are of foreign persuasion going to an American hospital for the first time is have somebody with you who can translate very well. At that point, the chances of you being misdiagnosed fall drastically. If you go in there unable to speak or make yourself abundantly clear, it drastically increases the chances of a misdiagnosis. So I'm going to go into and drag some pieces out of an article by Dr. Joseph McCullough. And he put together some good pieces. I was looking around. I was researching the topic. I had already written my points. And I came across this and it put a huge smile on my face. The title of his article is Increasing Rate of Medical Mistakes and Misdiagnosis.
Hey, Roger.
Listen to what I just said again. Increasing rate of medical mistakes and misdiagnosis.
You mind if I add something there in a second?
Duh.
I know it is so at a Walmart pharmacy, but it might be available anywhere. They have a sign up that has whatever their little thing is in like a dozen languages. And they offer, if they don't speak your language, whatever particular language that you walk into a Walmart pharmacy and try to get something, they will actually call a translator that they have on their payroll.
Yep. And these are good things. And the reason they are good things is because you actually get what you need to help take care of the issue. Again, if you didn't have something like that, and Stephen, that's perfect. Thank you very much. If you didn't have something like that and you had that cultural difference, again, we're talking about something that could make a major difference in what he decides is, or she decides is actually wrong with you. All right, so let's dive into this, okay? Again, Mercola's title is Increasing Rate of Medical Mistakes and Misdiagnosis. I won't be giving you all of his articles, but again, as usual, there are some brilliant points in here that I really, really would like to discuss with you. Medical errors remain a leading cause of death in the U.S., where an estimated 795,000 people become permanently disabled or die every year to misdiagnosis. Among hospitalized adults who died or were transferred to the intensive care unit, ICU, diagnostic errors are also disturbingly common. If you end up in the ICU, what they used to determine you needed to be there, what they're saying is the accuracy of this is disturbingly the inaccuracy of it is disturbingly common. Describing diagnostic errors as the most under-resourced public health crisis we face, researchers with Johns Hopkins School of Medicine said the public is largely unaware of the full scope of medical diagnoses in the U.S. So, what we're looking at here, again, is someone like me who used to think that if your doctor said something, you damn right well better do it. Why? Because you wanted to stay alive, didn't you? And this is the way we thought. This is the way. This anybody my age, and you don't even have to be my age. I would even tell you there are some Gen Zers that are very, very trusting in their doctors and feeling that they can do no wrong. Again, doctors are human. They are. And what keeps them from being greedy? What keeps them from being selfish? What keeps them from being self-centered? What? Let me give you a for instance. How many of you know at this point, and it should be all of you listening to this show, how many of you know that the COVID vaccines cannot keep you from getting it, cannot keep your body from storing it, and cannot keep you from putting it out? But again, are they telling you that, or are they telling you, or, and again, how many businesses did they destroy? How much damage did they do to the U.S. military? How many colleges are still suffering as a result of this? What we are looking at is a massive misdiagnosis. Massive and intentional. The biggest misdiagnosis the planet has ever seen. Welcome to the world of COVID-19. This is going to kill everybody. We're taking old people and we're putting them on ventilators and giving them a medicine that combined with the ventilators is known to kill people. How many people died? Well, gee, how much money did the hospital get if that person died on a ventilator taking COVID medication? That person could have been worth up to $200,000 to that hospital. Is that misdiagnosis? I sure as the hell don't think so. How about when you walk into your doctor's office, and if you roll your eyes into the back of your head, good, because yes, I'm going to say this again. How about when you walk into your doctor's office and you're a mother and you've got your beautiful daughter sitting on your lap and she's 4 years old and she needs to go to preschool, and you ask your doctor, you say, I was told my daughter needs to get a COVID shot before she goes to preschool. I would like you to tell me, as my family doctor, is there any danger in this? Is there any reason I shouldn't do it? If that doctor looks at you and says, no, Mrs. Umpty Scratch or Mrs. Smith or whatever, it's safe and effective. Give that to your daughter right now. If you don't get up and walk out of that office and never go back to that doctor again, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. Because what he's just told you is that the most dangerous and deadly vaccine, and it's not a vaccine, ever used on humanity is something that's safe and effective and that you should have no problems giving it to your child. And that is the biggest line of crap in the last 3 years, maybe four. So how much do you trust that doctor now? How much? The doctor who just told you that the vaccine is safe and effective, which we know is not only not true, but the opposite doesn't even come close to explaining how bad it really is. Okay, so let's continue on, okay? I would say U.S. facing a medical emergency of misdiagnosis is not stepping overboard on this. It isn't. This is basically a medical emergency. When you visit a doctor, whether you're at a doctor's office or hospital, you depend on getting expert care, including a correct diagnosis. But about 11% of the time, medical conditions are misdiagnosed, according to research published by BMJ Quality and Safety. The likelihood of misdiagnosis varies widely, however, depending on the type of medical problem and the symptoms presented. We don't miss strokes when somebody is paralyzed on one side and can't talk. Study author David Newman Togut told USA Today, we miss them when they look like something else that's benign. And this is also the case. I think I told you earlier, due to the research I found, that could be as much as 17.5 to 18% of the time. That's not good, people. All right? For instance, only about 1.5% of heart attacks are misdiagnosed, compared to 62% of spinal abscesses, a rarer condition. But even among strokes, a leading cause of disability in the U.S., misdiagnosis occurs more than 17.5% of the time. Gee, thank you, Dr. McCullough, for backing me up. When a stroke occurs, some patients may experience only dizziness or headaches, which can easily be confused with other conditions. A lack of training may be to blame, according to Newman Toker, as doctors are not being trained across the board on how to differentiate dizziness caused by stroke and the same symptoms caused by inner ear disease. USA Today reported, still 15 diseases account for 50.7% of the serious harms due to misdiagnosis, while just 5, stroke, sepsis, pneumonia, thromboembolism, and lung cancer account for 38.7% of misdiagnosis. And these aren't little things. These are things that cause a major change in your body, a major change in your lifestyle. And if it is misdiagnosed, what the hell does that do to you? Stop and think about that. A review of nearly 300 studies by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality also found that a startling number of patients who visit U.S. emergency rooms get an incorrect diagnosis. Overall, the research showed that 1 in 18 people who visit an emergency room will be misdiagnosed. 1 in 50 will suffer an adverse event as a result, and 1 in 350 will suffer from permanent disability or death. So when you walk in to an emergency room the next time, how many of you are going to have this in the front of your mind? Just how dangerous that place you just walked into is. And you walked into it to save your life, but what if what is needed to save your life is totally misdiagnosed? All right, Steve, I think we're about ready to jump into a break. You got anything to say before we roll out of here?
Well, I was wondering, I think I know Mrs. Umpty Scratch, or I knew her.
I have been, and that was a name that a teacher said to me, I think, in fourth grade.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, I'm 70 years old, so that was a long time ago. But yeah, he said, okay, Roger, just keep it up. All you got to do is Umpty Scratch, Umpty Scratch, Umpty Scratch. And I never forgot it.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 60 seconds. If I can find my mouse.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right. So, look, everybody, a lot of the things that we discuss on this channel, a lot of the things I discuss on RBN, a lot of the things I discuss on any time I guest on a show, a lot of these things aren't exactly what, you know, what's supposed to be our government. They don't particularly care for them. They don't particularly like them. I know you know what shadow banning is. I know you know what, you know, just taking something down is. I know you know. And a lot of that happens. A lot of this happens. This is the reason why we started TLB Talk. We needed a platform where people could actually say the truth and not have to worry about being kicked to the curb. We are a country, the home of the free, the land of the brave and the home of the free. This is who we're supposed to be. But yet we're not allowed to talk. We're not allowed to tell the truth. Stop and think about this, people. But anyway, that's the reason for TLB Talk. If you get a chance to go there, please do. We're in the process of doing a massive upgrade to that platform. Not joking. And it's underway right now, but the site is still usable as I speak. Yes, it is. But within a couple of months, when we're done with all of the changes we're going to make to it, it will be a site that will be absolutely worth being a part of. And this is what social media is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be something that, I don't know, decides what you can and can't say, decides when you can and can't say it. No, I'm sorry. TLB Talk, come and say what needs to be said. All right, so let's jump back in here. And look, like I said, only 1.5% of heart attacks are misdiagnosed, but that's not the same for strokes. It just isn't. A review, and I said this before, of nearly 300 studies by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality found, and let me go over these one more time, okay? In the U.S. emergency room, overall research showed 1 in 18 people who visit the emergency room will be misdiagnosed. 1 in 50 will suffer adverse events as a result, and 1 in 350 will suffer from permanent disability or death. This is the emergency room, people. The last thing you want to be thinking of when you walk through that door is how bad are they going to screw up making me better or keeping me alive? How many of you think that I'm enjoying this? How many of you think that I like doing shows like this? I say the same thing every single week. I don't. But if I don't tell you these things, yes, maybe someone else will. Will you hear that show? I don't know. My job in this world, the job of the Liberty Beacon Project, the job of TLB Talk, the job of this show is to tell you things you don't know so that all of a sudden you don't end up dead tomorrow and have no freaking reason why or no idea or your family doesn't. And today, there's way too much of that. Okay. Out of 130 million visits to the emergency room departments that occur every year in the U.S., this amounts to 7.4 million misdiagnoses and 2.6 million related adverse events and 370,000 serious harms from diagnostic error up to and including death. Did you hear what I just said? How the hell can you tell me how proud you are of the American medical system, especially since COVID came knocking on your door? Put in terms of an average, I don't know, Ed, with 25,000 visits annually and average diagnostic performance each year, this would be over 1,400 diagnostic errors, 500 diagnostic adverse events, and 75 serious harms, including 50 deaths per ED. And that's emergency department ED, by the way, for anybody who didn't guess that. I go to the emergency room because I have an emergency. Okay, the strongest and most consistent predictors of emergency department's diagnostic error were individual case factors that increased the cognitive challenge of identifying the underlying disorder with nonspecific, mild, transient, or atypical symptoms being the most frequent. And yeah. And also, as I told you, you're going into the emergency room. You're not always accompanied by somebody. A lot of times you are. But if you go in and you can't even talk to the person who is trying to diagnose you, either because you are harmed too much or the pain is too bad and you can't say a couple words without going, ouch. I have told you, and I will reiterate this, one of the biggest reasons you end up with a good diagnosis is because of the information passed either by family or by yourself to the person doing the diagnostics. Your family may have noticed you doing things that you don't even think are important to tell the doctor. You may have felt things that you never told your family. But if you add it all together, what you end up with is a diagnosis from standing outside and looking in and standing inside and looking out. You end up with a diagnosis that gives this person a chance of actually getting what's wrong treated. But far too many cases, that's not the case. This is, again, the most expensive medical system on the planet by a huge margin. And I will say this again, purely for effect. We are the most chronically ill nation on the planet. We are the most vaccinated nation on the planet. We have the highest level of autism on the planet. Would you like me to go on? How the hell does that make sense to anybody listening to this? We outspend every other nation on the planet by billions upon billions of dollars on our health care, and we are the sickest nation on the planet. That makes sense to everybody, doesn't it? Hey, Steve, that makes sense, doesn't it? No. I may have gotten him going over to get a glass of water. But anyway, the point is, I'm sure I know what he was going to say, and that would have been no. So let's go just a little bit further. How about diagnostic errors common in hospitalized patients? Now, this isn't somebody who just came into an emergency room. This is somebody who may have been in that hospital for days or weeks or months. Diagnostic errors common in hospitalized patients. A study of 2,428 patients who were transferred to a hospital ICU or died in the hospital also revealed diagnostic errors were common, harmful, and had underlying causes which can be used to design future interventions. A missed or delayed diagnosis took place in 23% of the cases, and 17% of the time the errors caused temporary, permanent harm or death. A missed or delayed diagnosis. Almost one in four. Most often, the diagnostic errors were related to problems assessing the patient or ordering and interpreting tests. Speaking with the Harvard Gazette, study author Dr. Jeffrey Schnippner explained. And yeah, some of the people Dr. McCullough knows, the names are absolutely phenomenal. So let's go into what this Dr. Jeffrey had to say. We know diagnostic errors are dangerous, and hospitals are obviously interested in reducing their frequency. Duh. But it's much harder to do this than when we don't know what's causing the errors or what their direct impact is on individual patients. And again, quite true. We found that diagnostic errors can largely be attributed to either errors in testing or errors in assessing patients, And this knowledge gives us new opportunities to solve these problems as well. It appears to be that only a minority of deaths in hospitals are linked to diagnostic errors, but even a single patient death that might have been prevented with a better diagnostic process is one death too many. Now, you've got to understand that this is somebody who works within the system telling us everything's pretty much great. We know better. But I figured I'd let you know that. And his last paragraph is, the two parts of the diagnostic process feed directly into each other. If you don't think of the correct possible diagnosis during your assessment of a patient, you're not going to order the right tests. And if you order the wrong test or order the right test but misinterpret the results because you're diagnosing something other than what it actually is, this will inevitably change how you then assess the patient and treat the patient. So again, we are looking at these things happening on the run. We are. If you have, a big tornado or whatever, and your emergency rooms are full and your doctors are running from one patient to the next, to the next, to the next, doing everything they can as fast as they can to service as many people as possible. I'm not telling you that these doctors are bad people. I'm not. What I am telling you is the disservice being done due to the lack of time and, concentration on exactly what that doctor is being told prior to making that diagnosis. And that's what this whole show has been about. If your communication with either that patient or that prospective patient's family is inadequate or doesn't exist, your ability to properly diagnose this patient falls dramatically. Another study similarly revealed that Black children, with appendicitis were more likely to be misdiagnosed than white children and had a higher likelihood of, perforation. In an editorial review of the BMJ quality and safety study, it's further suggested that diagnostic errors may be a leading cause of death among certain populations. And if you remember, one of the things I mentioned in my opening was that the hardest thing to do is for a doctor to diagnose somebody from a culture he totally doesn't understand. Because even if he's talking to your parents and or even if he's talking to your children or whatever, that division is still there. So let's continue. The authors conclude that harm associated with diagnostic error far surpasses any other patient's safety concern and is probably the largest source of death across all care settings linked to medical error, while also acknowledging that it is uncertain how many serious harms can or could have been prevented. To place these estimates in context, the number of, 371,000 deaths is similar to the number for several of the top causes of death in the USA in 2014, the year used by this doctor in his analysis. So, again, here we go. An Institute of Medicine, IOM, report even revealed that such errors are so common that everyone is likely to be affected at one point or another. Did you hear what I just said? An Institute of Medicine report revealed that such errors are so common that everyone is likely to be affected at one point or another. It's likely that most people will experience at least one diagnostic error in their lifetime, sometimes with devastating consequences. Diagnostic errors may cause harm to patients by preventing or delaying appropriate treatment, providing unnecessary or harmful treatment, or resulting in psychological or financial repercussions. And those are the biggest fallouts from misdiagnosis. It's also revealing that diagnostic errors are the most common type of paid medical malpractice claim. Ho, 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 back up. It's also revealing that diagnostic errors are the most common type of paid medical malpractice claim, and they're nearly twice as likely to have resulted in the patient's death compared to other types of malpractice claims. The IOM report cited a number of reasons behind diagnostic errors, including, here they go. What has Roger been telling you? Inadequate collaboration and communication among clinicians, patients, and their family. You want me to know what's wrong with you? Let me talk to you. Let me talk to your father. Let me talk to your mother. Let me talk to your brother. They're going to see things you don't see. You're going to see things they didn't see. And I'm going to get a more accurate, diagnostic. How about a healthcare system not well designed to support the diagnostic process? And this, we're finding out, is more and more likely part of the case. Again, a healthcare system not well designed to support the diagnostic process. Next point. Limited feedback to clinicians about diagnostic performance. And it is. Most of these clinicians will tell you they rarely get feedback. How about his last point? A culture that discourages transparency and disclosure of diagnostic errors. In other words, if I'm a doctor and I screwed up, the last thing that hospital wants to let you know is that that doctor who they're paying and they hired to take care of you screwed up, and you may, as a result of it, either have a much worse life or die. So they're not going to let you know that. Do you think I'm joking? No, I'm not. In many cases, however, misdiagnosis is preventable. The vast majority of diagnosis can be made by getting to know the patient's story really, really well. Again, asking follow-up questions, examining the patient, and ordering basic tests. Yeah, Dr. Singh with Baylor College of Medicine, who studies how to improve diagnostics, told NBC News, one of the things we hear over and over from people who've been misdiagnosed is, the doctor didn't listen to me. Hold on. The hell have I been telling you about? What have I been telling you about as far as the importance of a conversation between you and your doctor for as accurate a diagnosis as possible? If a patient walks away from that conversation with their doctor, okay, and is that frustrated, then the chances of misdiagnosis are probably a whole lot bigger than you are even considering. Not a joke, people. Not a joke. We're talking 800,000 people dying or having a life that's so bad it's insane as a result of misdiagnosis every year. That's not small, people. That's huge. It's an ongoing issue that continues to be widely overlooked. In 2016, Johns Hopkins patient safety experts led by Dr. Martin McCary calculated that more than 250,000 patients died each year from medical errors, making it the third leading cause of death. Did you just hear what I said? The third leading cause of death in the sickest nation, the most chronically ill nation on the planet. The third biggest cause of death in the most sick nation on the planet is what? Medical errors. Not what they had. Not what brought them into the hospital. Not what put them on the operating table. Misdiagnosis. Medical errors. We're talking into the millions every year. In 2022, the World Health Organization announced that unsafe care by medical professionals and hospitals result in a horrifying 2.6 million deaths each year worldwide, with at least 250 of those occurring in America. So we have less than 5% of the global population, but we've got 10% of, I don't know, the 2.6 million deaths. Does that tell you how good the medical system is in America? Does that back up what I have been telling you? Does it? I don't know about you, but if I walked up to a car lot and I saw a car sitting there that was a really nice car and it was $150,000, and I saw another one sitting right next to it and it looked almost as good and could do just about everything this one can, and it's only $25,000. Not joking, people. We have the most expensive medical system on the planet, and we are the most chronically ill nation on the planet. How the hell does that make any sense to anybody listening to this? And why aren't a lot more people kicking the tires on this thing? Well, let's go over something else, because what I like is that Mercola put something at the end of his article, and I'm going to jump to it because I want people to hear it. And this is typical Mercola. What is the title of his last section? How to reduce your risk of misdiagnosis. I'm going to sit here and tell you how bad it is, but shouldn't I be somebody to tell you what you can do about it as well? Scaring the crap out of people and leaving them scared with no way around the issue doesn't accomplish much. So let's read or go over what Dr. Mercola had to say on how to reduce your risk of misdiagnosis. As a patient, taking an active role in your health care may help you receive the best care possible and reduce your risk of getting incorrect diagnosis. This starts with choosing healthcare providers who listen to your concerns and view the whole picture of your health. Not just, okay, all right, look, I'm in a hurry. What is this? No, right now. What's this? Okay, if that's my doctor, I'm going to find another one. Okay, seek a healthcare practitioner who will help you move forward or toward health by helping you to understand the foundational causes of your health challenges. What made this happen? And create a customized and comprehensive, i.e. holistic, treatment plan for you. What's more, you can have an impact on your doctor's tendency to recommend natural alternatives as when you inquire about them. Some healthcare providers do, in fact, listen. If they don't, then keep shopping. Further, if something doesn't sound right about the diagnosis you're given, ask questions and get a second or third opinion if needed, especially if the diagnosis is going to take you in a direction you didn't even have a clue. Please, second or even third opinion. Remember, your doctor works for you, not the other way around. Ideally, healthcare should be a partnership. When you work together, your providers to identify the best solutions with the information you give them. Either way, this is great. If you're not satisfied with their know-how or the tools in their toolbox, find another doctor. If you're hospitalized or in an emergency situation, this is more challenging since you can't always choose who's providing your care. There are many cases when it is in your best interest to avoid hospitals, particularly for elective procedures or chronic conditions. But if you're hospitalized due to a life-threatening emergency, be sure to have an advocate with you who can manage your care and act as a power of attorney if necessary. While close to 1 in 6 doctors say they make diagnostic errors daily, this increases to 26% among emergency medicine doctors, which is what I've been telling you. The emergency room is where you're going to find the biggest oopses. Yeah. If you're seriously ill, it can be very difficult to explain what's wrong while keeping tabs on what they're asking you to sign and the medications and the treatments they're giving you. So having someone there who can double check everything and advocate for you is essential. And no matter where you're receiving medical care, be sure to explain all symptoms you're experiencing thoroughly. The more information you provide theoretically, the better the outcome should be. As always, taking control of your health is always or is also key to staying healthy and disease-free throughout your life. Okay, Stephen, what did we miss here? What did we not cover as far as bad diagnosis? We could have talked about it for 10 hours.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Bad diagnosis.
And it won't be the last show.
No, it's not so much a thing that these people are bad, these doctors and nurses are bad or anything. It's just they are brainwashed.
Not only that, but they are pushed into situations where, look, you only saw 7 people. The register room is crowded. Get back out there and let's get these people out of here.
Yeah.
And what that doctor does is switch it from the mode of being extremely curious about what's wrong with you to how quickly can I get you out the door?
Yeah. Well, they're taught to really not listen to what anyone has to say. They're taught to recognize
symptoms
and prescribe a drug.
Which again, most experts nowadays say is totally wrong. If you're if you don't have a good conversation with the patient or the patient's family, then the chances that you're going to have a misdiagnosis scream up.
Yep.
Okay. So how much time have we got left?
About a minute and a half, somewhere in there.
Okay. What I would like to do is I would like everybody, again, to go all the way back to the beginning of this show with me where I said, look, when I was a kid, doctors were the next thing below God, okay? A doctor could keep you alive. A doctor could, you know, birth your sister or your brother. A doctor could replace your mother's heart so she lives another 20 years. A doctor can, a doctor can. As Stephen just said, we're not here totally tearing apart the doctors. We do understand that everything that has affected our health, so on and so forth, over the last couple of years has also affected them. But the day you walk in to see your doctor and he tells you, give your 4-year-old a COVID shot because they're safe and effective, there's nothing. There is no excuse for that.
It would really be great to find out what the truth is, whether how many doctors know that they were fraudulently doing this in the last 3 years.
But they're getting an excessive amount of money. They're getting a lot more money than they usually do.
Well, are they going to be able to spend that money in jail? Or
We will see, won't we?
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping
Let's
so.
Let's just keep talking about it, Steve.
Right. Me.
All right, we done?
Yes, sir, we are.
And everybody, thank you so much for listening. I really, really, really do enjoy getting as much information out to you as possible. Thank you.
All right. Till next time, folks.